Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to The Nature Fix on Out There. This is our advice segment, where we use wisdom from the outdoors to help solve your most pressing personal problems. I'm here with our advice columnists, Becky Jensen and Angus Chen. And the question they're taking on today comes from a listener in Florida. Here's what he wrote. What happens when you turn 59? You wake every morning, do the exact same things every day. The way you shave, shower, comb your hair, feed the cats, eat the same things every day for breakfast, drive to work, do the same job, which you are locked into, by the way, because you cannot go anywhere else without taking a giant pay cut. You are tired of living in the state where you live and want to move north, somewhere, anywhere but Florida, where you've been since you were 5 years old. However, you cannot because your mom is old and lives in Florida. Your daughter also lives here and comes over for dinner every Sunday. I just want to stand in the middle of a stream, waders on, with my fly rod in hand, and live out my last quarter. But I'm about 5.5 years away from retirement. But even then, will I be able to live my dream with mom still living and daughter still single? Or should I relegate myself to dying in a state that I cannot stomach to live in, just to please everyone else? Signed, Just Tired. So after reading this letter, we wanted to find out a little more about the situation. So we reached out to Just Tired. We asked him to tell us more about his mother's situation and about his reasons for needing to live near his daughter. He told us his mom is not ill, but she is 86 years old. She has memory issues and she falls down on occasion. She has a live-in caregiver who's a close family friend, though the caregiver is also getting on in age. Just Tired says he has a brother, but the brother moved away long ago. In his email to us, Just Tired said, quote, "My brother moved away to Colorado 30 years ago and made that choice to live his life as he wanted. I, however, did not get that choice. Once he left, I had no choice. I must stay near my mom and make sure she's taken care of. I call her every day when I leave work to chat and make sure she is okay." As for the daughter, she's 26. She chose not to go to college, even though her father offered to pay, and she's currently working two jobs to afford her current lifestyle. But that lifestyle is not bad, according to Dad. Just Tired says his daughter has a history of dating the wrong kind of guys, and he hates to see his little girl struggle. And finally, he mentioned that he's the kind of person who avoids confrontation. He doesn't really tend to tell people how he's feeling. So that's what we know about the situation. Angus and Becky, let's try and untangle this a little bit. What is really at the heart of the situation here?
Oh man, I've been there, Just Tired. Your story is so very familiar to me. So it's obvious that you're a man that deeply cares about your family, but at the same time, you're feeling trapped by them and by your situation. And there's almost a hopelessness about your letter, like you don't see a way out and you're stuck. But I'm gonna say, you know, kind of this feeling of being trapped might be self-imposed. You know, maybe it's of your own making.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's really important, I think, to whenever you're sort of feeling in a rut or feeling stuck somewhere, it's important to ask yourself a few really tough questions, like, what is my role in this situation and getting myself here? Not just, you know, what have others done to me that's put me in this situation?
Yeah, and it's obvious you have a deep sense of duty to your family, but this obligation seems like it's almost debilitating. I mean, we can hear in your words how exhausted you are by the situation, that you feel like you bear almost total responsibility for the well-being of your mom and your daughter, that it's up to you whether or not they're okay.
Yeah. So, Becky, you were in a similar situation a few years ago. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was sitting where you are right now, Just Tired. I was going through the motions of life, but I wasn't really living. I wasn't happy. And I had teenagers at home. I had a fiance, a mortgage, my work, and I had an elderly mom with early dementia, and I didn't have any sibling support. either. So work-wise, I felt like I was pretty much spinning my wheels. And I was in the town where I grew up, but work felt pretty meaningless. And the responsibility of everything just finally got to be too much for me. And I felt trapped. I felt trapped just like you. And I was 45 years old, and I felt hopeless that my situation would ever change. So what I realized was at first I was like this accommodating person. I wanted to show my family how much I loved them. So I did everything for them. I did everything around the house, and I never asked for help. So I would clean the house, and I would do the laundry, and I would make all the meals and pay the bills and do all the grocery shopping. And what happened was this became everybody's normal. This became the expectation. And as this was happening, they were unaware that I was becoming resentful. They thought that this made me happy, but really underneath the surface, I was growing distant. I was growing resentful. And
you were growing resentful even though you were the one who was taking on all this responsibility. It wasn't other people asking you to do it.
No, I was doing it all myself. I was taking it all on. And I think that the thing to point out here, too, is that I wasn't asking for help. I was being this stoic, loving, martyr mother who was showing how much I loved everyone by doing everything. And so when I wouldn't talk to them about my feelings, again, they didn't know how I was feeling, and it kept it all pent up inside. And this wasn't fair to them, you know? And again, I started to grow distant from them, and I felt trapped in this reality that I totally created for myself. And so then you kind of get these phases of, you go, I went from like doing this out of love, and then starting to feel resentment, and then starting to feel almost kind of claustrophobic because I was trapped. And then it morphed into depression. And so I became depressed when I couldn't see a way out. And so one day I finally snapped and thought, I have to get out of this situation or something bad is going to happen to me. You know, emotionally and mentally, I might not survive this. And so I left my responsibilities behind to hike the 500-mile Colorado Trail for 5 weeks. And I had a million reasons why I couldn't go and why I shouldn't go. But I got creative and I found a way to do the trip to take care of myself.
Yeah, I mean, Becky, it's funny that it took so long for you to make that decision when really that option was there for you to take that vacation and take that time for yourself at any point, right?
Yeah, but it's funny when you're in it, when I was in it, I couldn't see. I couldn't see what was happening. I couldn't see how the resentment and the depression was building until I basically hit the wall. And I've talked to friends and I've talked to other people who have had similar situations, and this is what I told myself, is that I just need to suck it up. This is my job. This is my family. These are my responsibilities. And this is what I'm supposed to do.
And what actually, you said there were a million reasons why you couldn't just leave everything and everyone behind and go hiking for a month and a half by yourself. You know, you're leaving teenage kids behind, you're leaving pets behind, you're leaving work mm-hmm. behind, you're leaving all these things behind. What was it that finally made you do it anyway, despite all the things that were holding you back?
I was fearful that I was going to go to a place of no return emotionally and mentally. You know, I was in a really deep state of depression. And felt like if I didn't do something drastic, that I might sink further and get almost permanently stuck. I don't want to have people think that I'm like being melodramatic about this. For me, it really was kind of a life or death type of thing. Like I had to make some serious major changes, and I needed some kind of big shock to my system to make the change that I needed, because I wasn't doing it in small everyday things. It's almost like I needed to have this, I needed to pull myself out of my current environment, have this bird's eye view of what the situation was so that I could see it more objectively.
You needed to have some separation from regular life in order to figure out regular life.
For sure.
And yeah, so then you go do this, you go hike this 500-mile trail, which takes like a month and a half. And what did it do for you? How did it solve some of these problems that you were facing?
Well, it brought a lot of clarity to me. It gave me that objective view, that separation that I desperately needed. And what I realized first, is that I was playing a victim in my life story. That I thought everything was happening to me and I had no control and that life wasn't fair. And when I was on the trail, I recognized, and even the point where I made the decision that I was going to hike the trail was the first step. It was the day that I chose to become the hero of my story. So I realized that I was, I had choices and options. I had agency that I also realized I was living kind of with this notion, this story in my head that I had made up, that I was responsible for everyone's success and happiness. And that for some reason, they wouldn't be able to survive without me. that's like total hubris, right? It's like, I can't leave, what will happen to the dinners and what will happen to the toilet bowls without me? And
everyone's life will fall apart if you're not there.
Yeah. And everyone's life did not fall apart when I left. It didn't fall apart when I did something for myself. My kids were okay without me. In fact, they were more than okay. They thrived when I gave them some independence and asked them to take on more responsibility. So when I was on the trail, I actually realized some of these things, how I had been over-mothering my kids, and I wasn't doing them any favors by doing everything for them. So when I got home after the trail, I changed my parenting style. I just became more hands-free, and they really just took off. And our relationship really grew at that point because they could see that I respected them and I respected their decisions as these young adults who were kind of coming into their own. And I'm not saying that you have to hike the Colorado Trail or do something huge to find happiness, just tired. I'm just saying that you might consider doing something just for you, of making time for you.
Yeah, I think, there's also this bit about getting that distance. And even if just tired, you can just find a way to separate yourself from everything else in life a little bit. It can really make a huge difference in how you look at things. When I'm out surfing and I'm just sitting in the water, I'm not even doing anything really. I feel like I can analyze and dissect my problems from a place of peace rather than a place of like anger or anxiety or just feeling like this place of feeling overwhelmed with all the duties that I have. That setting can just make an enormous difference on how you approach problems.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back to this question of, because this is really interesting, Becky, that you said that when you stopped doing so much mothering, like when you stopped doing everything for your kids, it was actually a good thing for them. And this, it didn't hold them back. It did the opposite. And I'm curious because, Angus, I know that you have sort of experience from the other perspective, from the kids' perspective, because you were in a situation where you had to take on a lot of responsibility for your own life at a very young age, like more than most teenagers have to do. And so from your perspective, would you agree that that actually has benefits as you get older?
Yeah, I would. I think that you know, it's I think it's an incredibly nice thing that you're doing to sort of be there for your daughter and making sure that she feels cared for and safe. But I think taking a step back can really help her grow stronger, because that's what happened to me. When I was 16, 17, I was living by myself, and I was in high school at the time, and I was working to have some money to help support myself. I still got some help from my parents, but
you were living on your own.
But I was alone. That's right. Yeah, I didn't have my dad was in Singapore at the time, and my mom was in a different state. So it was really just me and my dog. And it was hard. I mean, at certain times it was really difficult, but those experiences, they made me a lot stronger and a lot more resilient and certainly more self-reliant. I think that you would be surprised by how well your kids might do if you gave them the sort of the same opportunity to look out for themselves.
Yeah. And then, so I want to address, though, this issue of your daughter being single, because it sounds like that's a really a big issue for you. And you said, I don't remember if we said this, but in the follow up email we got from Just Tired, you said that she's sort of had a history of dating guys who are maybe not the best, who kind of mooch off her and are not really great for her. But she's single right now, and that seems to be a real concern. So I wanted to address that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think that it's natural to want your kids to find someone who's right for them. But having a good partner is not a requirement for having a good life. You know, there's a lot of people who are single in their 20s. And looking at people my own age, it seems like more and more of us are not really settling into these sort of traditional long-term committed relationships until we're a little bit older. So she still has time, is what I'm saying. She still has time to develop that part of her life if she chooses to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, this idea that having a partner in your life ensures stability and happiness, I think is a myth. And I think it's, you know, it's grounded in, you know, kind of a, you know, some older thinking. There was a real, you know, reason for, you know, generations ago of needing to have that partner. But
especially for women.
Absolutely, especially for women. And so a lot of that mindset still lingers today. And I'm not sure that it's, no, I am sure. It's not necessarily valid.
Yeah. I mean, and I think this point that you made, Angus, that you don't need a partner to have a successful, happy life is an important one. And certainly you don't need a partner right now to be okay in your life. I mean, even you said it's not that weird for people in their 20s to be single. It's not even that weird for people in their 30s to be single.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, I'm single, and yeah, there are plenty of times when I wish I had a co-pilot in life for lots of reasons, and not just emotional ones. I mean, it would be great to have somebody to sort of help you figure things out. But I will say that if you don't have that person in your life, you figure out ways to do things yourself, which can be really gratifying. And you also reach out more to other friends, which can also be really gratifying. I mean, it turns out, like, when you ask for help, there are a lot of people who will step up to the plate. And it's not like, you know, if you need help, that there are people there. You don't have to have a partner just to kind of get through things that are a little too difficult for you to figure out on your own. I guess what I'm saying here is being single does not mean that you don't have a support network.
Right. And I would say, you know, so I'm in my 40s and I'm single, and it's not weird to be single. I have friends who are single. So what I can say looking back, because I've been married, I've had boyfriends, I've been engaged and not gotten married, I was a serial monogamist my entire life because I thought that I needed a man to validate my worth. So I didn't really feel like I had value unless someone else told me that I did. And so I've been single for about a year and a half, and this has been like a renaissance for me. I mean, I can honestly say that I love and that I like myself. And I couldn't say that before when I was in a relationship because I was always in a relationship for somebody else. And that being single feels fantastic because I'm in this relationship with me for me. And so I kind of, you know, if you think about like a relationship or life, you know, hiking on a trail, sometimes it's nice to have a companion hiking with you and sometimes it's nice to hike by yourself. So,
and sometimes your partner is not the best companion to hike with you if you
have a
partner.
That is true.
There's that too. Sometimes friends are better hiking partners.
Yeah. But bottom line, you know, your daughter just tired doesn't necessarily need a man in her life to be complete and happy. And it's wonderful that you care so much about her, but, you know, this is, you know, one of those things that she's going to need to figure out on her own, you know, that it's her job to make the choices about her love life. And they may not be the choices that you would make, but they're her choices to make. So that's kind of a piece she might want to let go.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. I guess what do we do with all of this? What specific advice do you guys have for Just Tired?
I would say, you know, again, I kind of go back to that hero's journey. You know, you realize that you do have control in your life. You're not a victim. You know, life is this series of choices that we make that you can make Just Tired, and you can be the hero in your own story.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like one of the things that makes you really happy is fly fishing. Try to find ways to spend more time doing the things that you like, and if you can, try to take a vacation and be able to separate yourself from everything else in life for a little bit and get that sort of outside perspective. It can really help. Even if you don't feel like you're coming to any new conclusions, thinking about these things in sort of a natural setting or away from other people can at the very least just help you feel a little bit of peace and quiet. The other thing I would say is it sounds like you feel like you're in a rut, like sort of in the same sort of patterns every single day. And one thing that might be able to help with that is just looking for small spontaneous changes that you can do throughout your day or your week. You know, if you feel like you're just getting tired eating the same things every day, next time you're at the grocery store, just pick something new to eat, or maybe take a different route home. Or if you normally spend your afternoons doing one thing, just at some point say to yourself, you know what, I'm gonna try something different today, and I'm gonna go do this other thing and try it out. It just injects a little bit of variety into your life, and that's something that can just on a very small scale help with that sensation of feeling in a rut.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point to start with baby steps, to start with little, because I mean, it's clear that you're exhausted by this whole situation. I mean, you signed your letter just tired. So like, and so contemplating some big, huge life change is probably really overwhelming. And so I really do like this suggestion to start with little steps. Start by switching up little things in your routine, getting away for a week and taking a vacation to go fly fishing just by yourself, so that you can get a little bit of perspective on your life. I think that's a really good way to start and to clear your head and to get some clarity on things. I might go a step further if you do take a vacation and shut off your phone for the week. Just like give yourself a chance to really be gone and do something for yourself. And I suspect when you get back, you'll realize that like things are okay and everything didn't fall apart just because you weren't, you know, checking on your mom every day and checking on your daughter on a regular basis, they'll probably be okay.
Yeah, at the very least, you know, you'd be able to come back to your situation, like Angus said before, you know, from a place of peace, from a place of clarity and rest, and not from that place of exhaustion. You know, it's really hard to make choices in your life, big or small, when you're exhausted and you're coming at it from a place of duress. So I totally agree with Willow and Angus about, oh gosh, go fly fishing, dude. Take a vacation. Yeah. And go. It sounded lovely. I was reading that part of your letter and I was like, I want to go fly fishing now. But, you know, also understand when you come back from your fly fishing trip, because I want to say that because that's going to happen. Understand that you're not responsible for the success and well-being of everyone around you. You know, come back to it with that different perspective. And, you know, also that it's good to expect that your kids take responsibility for their own lives. You know, your daughter's a grown woman, and it's not up to you to take care of her forever. And I can tell you when I realized that when I came back and I thought about my kids and kind of giving them more responsibility, it was such a weight that was lifted from my shoulders. And at the same time, it's something that brought us closer together.
And then with your mom, she does have a caretaker. And, you know, I know it's really important that you check in with her every day, but you could do that even if you lived somewhere else. I mean, you don't have mm-hmm. to be living right next to her in order to call her every day. And just because you move somewhere else, you can still go home for visits whenever you want.
Yeah, and I get it. Your mom's 86. I mean, she's, I know that you probably recognize that your time is fairly precious with her. And if you want to live near your mom, you know, that's your choice. But I want to say it's not a mandate that we all live near our parents and that we have to be their caregivers and their care providers. I mean, my elderly mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so I made the choice to reach out to my siblings, many of them estranged, and to find a solution. I don't want you, if you do decide to be close to your mom, physically, like live close to your mom, then that you don't have to bear it alone, that you don't see it as an obligation or a duty, but as this wonderful opportunity to be able to spend some time with your mom. You know, as you're looking, we talk about the story that we're telling ourselves and the story that you might be telling yourself. Again, when you give yourself permission to be the hero in your life, I think your brother might have done that for himself. You know, he's given himself permission to live in places that bring him joy. And I encourage you to give yourself permission to do the same if that's what you want to do.
Angus and Becky, thank you for tackling this question, for kind of taking apart the layers here and thinking through some possible solutions.
And thank you, Just Tired, for sending your question to us.
Absolutely. And I also want to say, you know, the plans that you make, it may or may not include a move, but they absolutely, and I'm not being facetious here, they absolutely should involve some fly fishing. Really, I would love to hear about your fly fishing trip, and I would love to see pictures of you casting a line out into a river somewhere. So good luck, Just Tired.
If you have a question for Angus and Becky, please get in touch. Your question can be about any aspect of life, and it doesn't need to involve the outdoors directly, although of course it can. Either way, we'll use lessons from nature to help you sort things out. There are two ways you can submit a question. The best is for you to send us a voice memo. Just record yourself asking the question and email it to me.
If you don't feel comfortable sending us a voice memo, you can also email me your question in written form. My email address is willow@outtherepodcast.com. We look forward to hearing from you and helping you work through life's obstacles. Oh, and one quick note, we are more than thrilled to share our thoughts with you, but we also want you to know that the views and opinions our advice columnists express here are personal to them. They are not a substitute for professional advice. If you're in a situation where you need psychological or medical help, you should consult with an appropriately qualified professional. A big thank you to Hattie Parmeter and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. If Out There has made your life brighter in some small way, I hope you'll consider joining them in supporting the show. I recently quit my day job and am focusing on the podcast full-time now, which is super exciting, but also very scary because finances are always uncertain on an independent production like this. And of course, now that we've added the Nature Fix and are bringing you episodes 3 times a month instead of just 2, our costs are increasing. Your support helps cover those costs and keep this show up and running. To make a contribution, just go to outtherepodcast.com and click support. You can make a one-time gift, or better yet, you can contribute to our Patreon campaign, which lets you make smaller pledges on a monthly basis. Either way, thank you so much to everyone who supports the show. You guys are wonderful. That's it for this episode. Our advice columnists are Becky Jensen and Angus Chen. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.